Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the City Council Chambers. Carla, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Did you have a good lunch?
I did.
Okay. Can you please call the roll? It's Thursday, 2 p.m., November 15th, 2012.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams?
Here. Can you please read item number 1307?
Amend code to promote reusable checkout bags and reduce use of single-use plastic checkout bags.
So I'd like to move the amendment that I circulated prior to this that just adds does not include plastic cover designed and used for protecting garments on a hanger. Move that.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any discussion on the amendment? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. I'm going to save my comments to the end, or the discussion point at the end, and turn it right over to our sustainability director for the city and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Michael Armstrong.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Michael Armstrong with the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As you know, last year, Portland joined dozens of cities and a handful of countries in and approved a ban on plastic bags to support the increased use of reusable bags, as well as reduce the thousands and thousands of plastic bags that end up in our streams and ultimately in the ocean. The policy approved covered single-use bags, single-use plastic checkout bags at grocery stores and large pharmacies, and that policy took effect in October 2011. The ordinance that adopted that policy called for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to report back after 1 year and identify options for changes to the policy. Last month, we came back and we reported on the experience over the first year and identified some possible policy options. In your discussion of those options, we heard quite a bit of support in general for the bag policy, but not a lot of support for requiring retailers to charge for bags, as many other cities have done. Based on that discussion, the proposal that's in front of you today would expand the ban to additional retailers, but not make a requirement around itemizing the cost of bags. The proposed expansion would take place in two phases. For retailers and restaurants that have retail space of 10,000 square feet or less, 10,000 square feet or more, the policy would take effect March 1st, 2013. For all other retailers, and that includes all food establishments, the policy would take effect October 1st, 2013. So first, it would phase in the larger stores. In October, all stores would be covered, including restaurants. As with the existing policy, the proposed policy does not restrict bags that are used to protect a purchased item from damaging or contaminating other purchased items. So for example, the plastic bags in a grocery store where we get bulk items or produce, meats, those sorts of things. Similarly, and it's clarified in the amendment that Mayor Adams just introduced, the intent is not to restrict plastic bags that are on a hanger used as garment bags. So if you're protecting clothing in that way.
So just to clarify also, are plastic bags for goopy takeout food allowed?
Yes.
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 I'm sorry, I missed plastic bags for what?
Goopy. Well,
the word
takeout.
I used was goopy, but that may not be in the dictionary. So
I missed the technical term there. Goopy foods require protection.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's common sense.
Yes.
And if there are any, one thing I would say, it's we've already given the Bureau of Administrative Authority, if there is the need for clarification or request from a particular retailer that has a particularly unique goopy item, there is administrative authority already to make that decision on a case-by-case basis.
That's correct. Based on the numbers we have, we estimate that about 2,200 retailers and another 2,800 food establishments would ultimately be covered by the policy once it's fully phased in. And we will be notifying all of those retailers, assuming this proceeds, of what the exemptions are, what the process is, and then we'll develop administrative rules to clarify anything that requires additional explanation. So I know there are quite a few people here who are interested in testifying. I'm happy to answer any questions now, or I can also come back at the end.
Can you stick around?
Of course.
Great. Let's go to testimony. How many people have signed up?
We have about 15 people signed up.
15. Okay, let's do it.
First four, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Travis Williams, Luke Mathers, and Steve Wilson. And they'll be followed by Adam Dunn, Rhett Lawrence, Paul Cosgrove, and Laura Weiss.
Hello, welcome. You brought a visual aid. Mr. Parker, would you like to begin? It's always good to see you.
Thank you. Charlie Parker, Northeast Portland. On the table is the slop bucket that was dropped off at my residence at the time of the changeover to biweekly garbage service. This foreign-made, inferior-quality, single-use plastic bucket has sat a few feet from my garbage can ever since it was delivered. Instead of sending it off to the landfill, where plenty of these buckets likely ended up, I decided to bring it back to the originator. Consider it an end-of-term party gift.
I'll take it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Unlike the slop bucket, the whole concept of calling plastic bags single-use is pompous propaganda, a highly orchestrated political spin that is an outright lie. One study indicated that 90% of households reuse them for one purpose or another. After my dad passed away in the late 1970s on a shoestring budget, my mother traveled all over the world, something she'd wanted to do since she was a little girl. Just about everything in her luggage was wrapped in plastic bags. While I don't go that far, the majority of the multi-use plastic checkout bags that I receive are reused in some manner. And yes, some are used for garbage bags instead of those heavyweight plastic, black plastic garbage bags. The resale industry also knows the value of these plastic bags, reusing other retailers' bags at their own checkout. Likewise, new plastic bags cost less, take up less storage space than paper bags, and consume less energy to transport. I also know of people who get in their car, fuel up, and routinely drive outside of Portland to do their shopping because of the current plastic bag ban. Elected officials in a democratic society are theoretically the servants of the people, not dictators to the people. Yet in Portland, the current direction caters to and dictates the mantra of special interest agendas rather than representing the mainstream populace and silent majority. The premise of the plastic bag ban directly takes this backwards approach. Expanding the ban will increase the burden on businesses and hassles for customers. In reality, this dictatorial social engineered policy, along with costly government-controlled price fixing. It also clearly demonstrates Portland city government does not have a clear understanding of customer service or business-to-consumer rapport. The current trademark of Portland is one of implementing costly special interest and socially engineered agendas, not as an affordable, self-sustainable city. Banning plastic bags is a socialistic, dictatorial, dynasty-type decision. Ramping up a recycling program would be a better fit than even the current bag ban. Thank you.
Mayor, can I just clarify something? Is Mr. Parker here speaking for himself or for the Northwest Grocers?
I am here speaking for myself, and I apologize I didn't give Carla my written testimony.
It's all right.
I was thinking more about your gift.
And you are correct. It's foreign made. Do you know where it's made?
Canada.
That's right. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. Hello to City Commissioners, Mayor Adams. My name is Steve Wilson. I am the Communications and Policy Director for the Five Gyres Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that sails to all the world's oceans, documenting this problem firsthand. I presented the clerk with a sample from the North Pacific Gyre. I would love to have passed around to see what we're talking about firsthand. If we talk about beaches, 11% of the garbage that is found on beaches and in watersheds are plastic bags. If we talk about what's in the ocean itself, high-density polyethylene and polypropylene are the two most common types of plastic in the ocean. I've personally sailed 30,000 nautical miles, documenting this in places where no one else in the world have. I just completed a 1,400-mile bicycle outreach tour on the East Coast, touting the Portland bag ban, trying to get our East Coast cities to look at this issue a little more seriously because of the population densities. And what I noticed is in places like Baltimore, Maryland, you have filthy cities. And if we want to talk about business and we want to talk about why business comes to Portland, it's a quality of life. Oscar Wilde said of his times that people know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And I think that is true here. And looking at Baltimore, when there was a rain event, I did a cleanup in the Herringwood watershed. 2,000 plastic bags shredded 10 feet high in trees in a half-mile stretch. This is coming from a neighborhood that is the fifth most violent in the country. Pollution is a symptom of poverty. There is no business here to be done, and there is no business to be done on a dead planet. I live in Portland because of our sustainable policies. I represent a fraction of the grassroots movement here in Portland that brought this to your attention. This is not a dictatorial ask. This is the culmination of 5 years of grassroots activism, the same thing, frankly, that made the United States the United States. So I am here as an expert before you, having seen what plastic does to our animals, what it does to the food chain by absorbing pollutants in the environment, and 9% of the fish in the Pacific Ocean that serve as the base food chain fish for our fisheries economies have ingested plastic. So when we get to the point of looking at one very low-hanging fruit, I say, let's expand the bag ban, and let's do what we said we would do last year.
Thank you very much. You hit it right on 3 minutes as well. Extra points for that. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. My name is Luke Mathers. I'm a small business owner, a company called Truce Designs. We make a lot of bags out of reusable or materials that would otherwise be discarded, like dry suit fabric and sailcloth, stuff that could just be getting thrown away that's made out of really durable plastic, basically. And I just wanted to speak to the interest of business and that it would be good for business locally because encouraging more people to use locally made reusable bags would be better and just kind of expanding the industry locally of people wanting to manufacture reusable bags here. So, and you know, the best way to encourage that, I think, is to encourage people to reuse the things that they, you know, and sometimes people don't start
happens to me all the time.
Yeah. sometimes the only way to effective social change is to just do it and get people to start using it that way and join all the other industrial nations that have already banned it nationwide. And
thank you. And where could someone procure? Do you have a website or a URL?
Yeah, it's trucedesigns.com.
Truce or truth?
T-R-U-C-E, truce.
Trucedesigns.com. Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you.
Hi, Travis.
Hello. Mayor,
can you push that button in front of you? That's the only manual. There we go.
How's that? All right. Mayor and commissioners, my name is Travis Williams, and I'm executive director and riverkeeper for Willamette Riverkeeper, and I appreciate the opportunity to lend our support to the expansion of this bag ban effort in the city of Portland, and I appreciate the fact that you guys are hearing this again, and I want to applaud Surfrider and Five Gyres and all the other folks who have really been pushing this over the last few years. In terms of my organization, Willamette Riverkeeper, and many of our trips over the years, we have seen really just a ceaseless stream of plastic bags in the riparian zone of the Willamette and its tributaries. In my paddling of other rivers around Oregon, the same thing. It's a ubiquitous problem. You find the bags floating in the water. You find them on the beach. You find them, as I said, in the riparian area along the river. And I think this is something that makes a lot of sense. We've become all too used to many of our wasteful habits over the years, and this is a big one. Whether you're looking at plastic used for groceries and other products. So I think I encourage you to pass this, and I'm also supportive of a fee. I think that makes a lot of sense to monetize really the costs of any bag that you're using, whether it be paper or otherwise. So I appreciate the opportunity to provide these comments. And again, Willamette Riverkeeper supports this expansion effort.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all very much. Next four.
Are Adam Dunn, Rhett Lawrence, Paul Cosgrove, and Laura Weiss. And they'll be followed by Brandon Recisi, Tracy Reed, Brandon Hill, and Sarah Higginbotham.
Would you like to begin, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Adam Dunn. I'm an owner of Savor Soup House. Thank you for having me today. I'm here with my friends from Surfrider to help support the cause to ban the single-use plastic bags. I've heard there are some retailers that are strongly opposed to the ban in favor of a free market solution. When I was reading this over the past couple days, I was looking at it and thinking this is a perfect example of an externality where the free market solution is not necessarily in our benefit in the end. Plastic bags are cheap. They're an easy solution. It's what we've always done. It's certainly viable to continue that way. But I think that at this point we've realized that they are a huge detriment to us. They're ending up in the rivers, the water sources, out on the coast. And I think this is the perfect role for government to step in if there's a consumer-driven response or a consumer-driven initiative. I do appreciate that this is brought to the attention by the consumers. As a business owner, I personally, my biggest pet peeve is packaging, and I hate paying for it. I have to pay for it because people don't always come with their own packaging, but when people do, I appreciate it, and I will continue to buy the packaging that our consumers want. We have not had plastic bags because it seems like over the past year with this trial run, people have learned that we do not need to use the plastic bags. And I think we are an adaptive group that is fully capable of making use of other packaging items. That's what I've got.
Thank you very much for your testimony. What do you sell exactly or make?
Savor Soup House. We do business lunch, 10th and Alder.
And where can people go online to learn more?
SavorSoupHouse.com.
SavorSoupHouse.com. Thank you for being here. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Rhett Lawrence. I'm the Vice President of Recycling Advocates. Formed in 1987, Recycling Advocates is Oregon's only citizen-based grassroots group dedicated to creating a sustainable future through local efforts to reduce, reuse, and recycle. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on behalf of Recycling Advocates and our members. Recycling Advocates would first like to thank City Council for taking on this issue last year and for setting Portland on a path to reduce the use of plastic checkout bags. We support the city's effort both through your policy efforts and the BPS staff's outreach and tabling efforts to increase the number of reusable checkout bags used in our city. We are grateful that the City Council has returned to this issue and is considering expanding last year's ordinance. But we believe that the city is not going quite far enough in the expansion being contemplated today. RA believes strongly in the solid waste management hierarchy of reduce, reuse, and recycle in that order. Thus, our efforts are focused on waste reduction first, in this case promoting and increasing the use of reusable bags. RA's position, backed up by the real-world experience of other cities and states, is that the most effective policy to increase reusable bag use is to address both paper and plastic bag use. What we have seen working well elsewhere it is something very similar to option 3 from the report that BPS presented to you last month. We believe that the best approach to this issue is one that bans the use of plastic bags at the checkout and places a fee on the use of paper checkout bags. Such a policy would help motivate consumers to remember to bring their reusable bags, which obviously is the ultimate goal here. And although the BPS report from last month showed a commendable increase in reusable bag use in the last year, it also showed that many consumers merely switched from one product to another as paper bag use has increased nearly 500% during that time. And obviously both paper and plastic bags have an impact on the environment. So as BPS noted in its report, when a nickel fee was placed on the single-use checkout bags in Washington, D.C., the use of those bags, both plastic and paper, decreased by 80% in a single year. The report further notes that many cities up and down the West Coast, including Eugene and Corvallis, that have banned plastic bags and added a fee to the bags, have added a fee to those bags for the simple reason that it is the approach that works best. So in short, Recycling Advocates is certainly supportive of the City Council's intention to expand the plastic bag ban, but we must also note that this should not be viewed as the final solution to this problem, and that it will be incumbent on City Council to revisit the issue. If we truly want to put a real dent in the use of single-use checkout bags and to substantially increase the use of reusable bags in our city, we need to join our neighbors in Eugene and Corvallis and implement something resembling option 3 from the BPS report. And we need a strong across-the-board educational effort to accompany that policy, and we're happy to help out in that effort. So thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Mr. Cosgrove.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, members of the council. Paul Cosgrove, representing the American Forest and Paper Association and its Renewable Bag Council. And the Renewable Bag Council, I think, has sent information to each of your offices, and I'm just going to briefly summarize that and add some additional detail. The paper bag is really a recycling success story. Not only are paper bags made from recycled paper, they're highly recycled here. And one of the unique facts about the paper bag situation in a city like Portland is that that recycling loop, that circle, is very, very tight and very, very small. Paper bags are collected in our curbside programs here. They are go through facilities that are separated from other sources of paper and other recyclable products in the city and nearby suburbs. They are repulped within 50 miles of this city and then brought back to a suburb of this city to be made into new paper bags and brought back to the retailers in this city. So it's a very close, very efficient recycling system for paper bags in this city. And the rate of recycling nationally is about 50%. We don't have exact data from Portland, but we expect it's much higher here. So paper bags come from a renewable resource. They are part of our sustainability of use of natural resources. The issue that I wanted to add a little detail to is your bureau had to rely on information from a trade association regarding costs for retailers about the switch from paper to plastic to paper. We actually have exact data about sales to those various retailers citywide, and I can tell you that the sales volume has not gone up anywhere near 500% since the city implemented the plastic bag ban a number of months ago, and that we believe that the costs that have been reported to you don't take into account the savings that occur actually from the non-purchase of plastic bags. And when you take those two factors into account, it's a lower volume of increase of our business by far than has been reported to you. And the savings that offset that, in fact, a number of retailers actually probably are saving money. And the reflection of that is there were a number of retailers who had switched from plastic to paper before the ban, and they did that not only because of environmental benefits of paper over plastic, because they thought it was a good business decision. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but thank you for the opportunity.
Could I follow up on that one point? Because Mr. Cosgrove, I've been interested in that data, too. And my understanding that over 40% of grocery stores in Portland had already moved to paper bags prior to the ban. Is that roughly the statistic you have?
Commissioner Fish, I have the exact numbers here, and I think it is about 40%.
Thanks in large part to Fred Meyer's system-wide change.
And they did it
23 out of 55, Commissioner Smith.
And Fred so Meyer did it based on environmental concerns, and they were ahead of the curve. So I mean, that's an important statistic.
Yep.
And could you also, because you cited the data and the trying to get a fix on the true measure of the cost, can you just explain briefly the difference between the assumption that there's a 1-to-1 bag ratio versus a 3-to-1?
Yes, I think it's actually something that all of us would recognize if we went to the grocery store.
Put it in plain English, too, because it was. I want to make sure I understand it.
If you are either loading yourself your own groceries at the grocery store or having one of the clerks load them for you, you will notice that, in fact, the amount of weight that can go in and volume that can go into a plastic bag is much smaller than that which can go into a paper bag. And based on studies of watching people do this over the country, the general ratio that everybody agrees is pretty close to accurate in all circumstances is 3-to-1. It takes 3 plastic bags to hold the same amount of groceries as it does 1 paper bag. And that's why one of the reasons that as you eliminate plastic, you eliminate 3 times as much plastic as you do in terms of using paper, even if it's a 1-to-1 substitution.
Thank you. Thanks. Hi. Can you push that? You got it. There
you go. All right, am I on?
You are. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Weiss. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. I'm the founder of GoBox, which is a service for the downtown food carts, so they can provide a reusable to-go container for their customers. And it's a business that's been in existence for about a year and a half, and I just thought I would stop by and share my
award-winning business.
It is an award-winning business. Thank you. Thanks to the city for that. And I thought my experience with this business might be instructive as we talk about getting rid of single-use items. So since launching a year and a half ago, about 1,200 people have signed up to use GoBox. And over 50, actually approaching 60 vendors have signed up. And we've eliminated the use of over 11,000 disposable containers, to-go containers, all from downtown Portland. And the good news is it's not just for food carts anymore. There's other brick-and-mortar takeout restaurants that are now using GoBox as well. My feeling on this is that people in Portland want to do the right thing, and everybody wants their food to go. Everybody's in a hurry. It has to be convenient. And GoBox offers a solution for people who can say, I can get my food to go. I can still take it where I need to go, but without using this disposable container. And so it's rewarding to see people wanting to do that. And the other thing I see that's happening is that when people take their meal in a GoBox, they carry it in their hand. They don't get a plastic bag. And when I'm downtown at the food carts, I see a lot of people walking around, and a lot of people who get their food in the disposable containers are carrying it in a plastic bag. And so there's an additional sort of bit that happens with people's, the change in that behavior. And that's what we're talking about here, is a change in behavior. Just to finish the story on GoBox, people sign up and they get their meal in a reusable container. They return it to a nearby drop site. They get a token, and then they use that token again for a new container. GoBox picks up the used containers, has them washed in a commercial kitchen, and then returns them clean to the vendors, all by bicycle. I wanted to finish that. So I'm here to say that I support this ban. I think that it's a way to even the playing field so that a vendor doesn't have to make the decision to do the right thing. If it's just not allowed, then everybody's going to do the right thing. And over time, people will learn to bring their own bags. And I would also say that, you know, I think that a fee does make sense, because that's going to be the stick, in addition to the carrot that's going on here, that will help people remember their bag. And it will also help to defray the cost of the paper bag for the vendors, particularly the small vendors who have to pay a bit more. So thank you very much.
And what's a URL people can learn more about your business?
Thank you. GoBoxPDX.com.
GoBoxPDX.com.
Yes,
and you won a sustainability award from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
Yes.
It's a great business.
Thank you very much. The good news is that folks in other cities are interested in doing GoBox in other cities. So
Franchise. Hopefully
there'll be GoBox San Francisco or GoBox LA soon.
That's awesome.
Just keep you posted. Thank you.
Good job. Next four, please.
Are Brennan Recisi, Tracy Reed, Brandon Hill, and Sarah Higginbotham. And the last three who signed up were Tara Gallagher, Kevin Tosi, Toki, and Joe Gilliam.
I know I'm going to get in trouble when I say this, but the best chicken, how do you say it?
Chicken steam buns.
The chicken steam buns, the best chicken steam buns in Portland are at Bokeh Box. So would you like to begin?
Yes, and thank you very much. It's an excellent plug to be getting. I appreciate your guys' requesting me to come here to testify. My name is Brandon Ricchetti. I'm co-owner of Bokeh Bowl, which is located in Southeast Portland. I'm just here to provide some more, I guess, anecdotal information about, we just started, it'll be our one-year anniversary next week. So we're a brand new restaurant and lots of decisions to make when we were first getting going. We talked about plastic bags versus paper bags very briefly. I just personally wouldn't have used, if I was just letting my heart decide what the right thing to do was, I wouldn't have used the paper bags. But, you know, sometimes you make compromises for your business. And so I just kind of looked at it and tried to figure out what the best thing to do was. And for me, we do a lot of to-go business, and we do probably the most difficult type of to-go business. We're a ramen, primarily a ramen restaurant. So we've got people carrying soup, which had us a little bit worried about using paper bags. So there was a business decision there that went sort of against my opposition to using the plastic bags. I don't think the money was really an issue for us. We really just wanted function. For us, a year later, doing lots of bags, the paper bags have not been a problem for us in the least. We haven't had any problems with just as far as functionality of them goes. Cost-wise, it hasn't been a problem for us. And we are definitely doing a reasonable volume. Obviously, we're not Fred Meyer, but we're still using plenty of bags. And we do make efforts whenever we can to not use a bag at all. You know, and I just wanted to add that even if I did the numbers and sort of decided that I needed that plastic bags made more sense for me somehow, I don't think that my clientele would agree with that, and I think I would probably get into a bit of trouble with my clientele. So going back to the business decision aspect of the whole debate of what type of bag to use, you know, it seemed pretty obvious to use the paper bags, and so far it has been the right decision. And back to the volume issue as well, you know, we would not be able to get as many orders, as much of an order into a plastic bag as we're able to get into a paper bag. Additionally, we call it an eco charge, but to be honest, it's just money to help offset our expenses of 50 cents per order. If the order is a $100 order, it's 50 cents. And if the order is a $10 order, it's 50 cents. It's just something there to help us out a little bit, and no one has flinched about that fee. So if the fee issue is still on the table in the future at some point, again, anecdotally only, it has not been a problem for us. Thank you, guys.
Where's your restaurant?
We're on Southeast Water Avenue, right just north of OMSI.
It's a great place. Portlanders should check it out. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Sarah Higginbotham. I'm the state director for Environment Oregon, a statewide citizen-based environmental advocacy organization. I'm here today to represent the thousands of members we have here in the city of Portland, and I'm going to use some of my time really quick.
Are they for particular people or any of us?
Nope, they can go to any of you. Those represent the thousands of petitions we've collected since I last saw you on October 10th, I believe. Within each bag are thousands of petitions. The bags are signed by students, local Portland students, who also were able to talk with about the issues. So I wanted to make sure those got to you. You'll also notice they're in a reusable bag.
And they're artistically decorated.
They are. Those are scenes and pictures of what students in Portland hope the ocean will look like and what a healthy ocean should look like. I'll jump right to it. I'm here today to voice my support of the proposed expansion of Portland's plastic bag ban as presented. That would include all retailers and the phased-in restaurants. This policy, as we've hopefully made clear, will help protect our waterways and our oceans from plastic trash, an enormous problem that only continues to grow and has been growing rapidly in the last few decades. Over the last few months, Environment Oregon has set out to talk with thousands of Portlanders door-to-door, on the phone, and on the streets, and that's exactly what we've done. Alongside our coalition partner, Surfrider Foundation, we've also set out to talk with small businesses. Some of those folks are here today, and dozens of those businesses have signed on to support. And so in a small amount of time, the response has been overwhelmingly positive, both from citizens and from businesses. And we know folks are really excited that this decision is before all of you today. I want to, again, just applaud and thank you for taking action last year in 2011 to take these first steps. Not only, obviously, as plastic bag drop use, but reusable bag use is up. And we think Portland should continue to be a leader on this issue, and we urge you to vote today or soon to approve this expansion. I think I can sum it up pretty simply. We had a press conference prior to this where we put the bag monster on trial and sent him on his way after presenting these petitions, and he said it pretty well. The problem is just too enormous, and the solution is just too simple to wait any longer. So thank you so much.
Thanks for your work on this. Appreciate it. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Brandon Hill. I'm the Director of Operations for Bamboo Sushi. We have two restaurants in Portland. We have one off of Southeast 28th Avenue and Pine Street and one off Northwest 23rd at Kearney. And I'm here to represent us and to put our support behind expanding the plastic bag ban. We do about 450 to 600 people guests through our doors in a day, and about 10% of our total revenues generated a day is placed off to-go orders. And since we have opened about 4 years ago in Southeast Portland, we have used fully renewable and biodegradable to-go packaging for all of our to-go orders. This has been very well received by the community at whole, and actually often appreciated that we do take the extra steps to source these items and to provide them for our guests. We also do have a fee that's associated with our to-go orders for the cost to help recoup the cost of all of our to-go packaging. Since it is fully biodegradable, it does get a little bit more on the expensive side, and so we have a $2 fee that's associated with every to-go order. Very similarly, does not alter depending on the size of the to-go order either. We have had a number of guests that have commented on it and that do appreciate that we take the steps, and we have had very little backlash from the fee that's associated as well. So if that is still on the table as well, we'd like to put our support behind that. So, yeah, I hope that you guys make the right decision and do support the ban.
And you mentioned you have your restaurants at where again?
We have one in Southeast 28th Avenue and Pine Street, and one at Northwest 23rd and Kearney. And bamboosushi.com is where you can find us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks for letting me speak today. My name is Tracy Reed. I'm the CEO of Plastic Free Seas based in Hong Kong. I'm visiting Portland to look at sustainable business policies here to take back to Hong Kong to see what we can do. We've got some of the most polluted beaches that you could probably ever see, and most of it is due to unregulated single-use and disposable plastic use. In 2008, Hong Kong actually introduced a plastic bag levy to the big supermarket chains, and one of the big things that we found from that was that it actually just got people changing their behaviours, thinking about if they actually needed to take a bag at all. We don't have paper bags in Hong Kong. It's bring your own or pay for a plastic bag or nothing. And it has cut down a lot on the plastic bags that we've seen on the beaches, but we still do see a huge amount of litter as a result of this partial ban. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Mayor, I have a question for Sarah. Are the postcards you just gave us, are they all different, or is each one of us have a set of the same?
No, I divided them all up. So we at Environment Oregon got all of the petitions, and then so each of you have a different set of ones. I didn't copy any.
Thanks. So, Carl, I'm going to need some advice from the city attorney as to how we document the public inputs. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And what was the name of your organization, or are you working on your own?
PlasticFreeSeas.org.
Thank you. PlasticFreeSeas.org. Thank you all. Next four.
The last three who signed up were Tara Gallagher, Kevin Tokay, and Joe Gilliam. And we've also had a request for someone else who wanted to speak.
Sure.
Okay, they can also come up.
Mr. Gilliam, why don't you begin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, good to see you today. I represent the North, for the record, Joe Gilliam, Northwest Grocery Association. And right up to Mr. Cosgrove's testimony, we were against a paper bag ban, but we may be changing our minds now. Give him a hard time on his data.
We hear different points of view all day long.
All day long. Paul and I are good friends. So we are in favor of you moving forward with what's been proposed on the ordinances. The expansion to the other retailers creates a level playing field, something we advocated in the first go-around when it was brought before the council. And that very early on, 5 years ago, when we talked about any type of ban, that it should apply to all businesses equally or not apply at all. And you've made the policy decision to move forward, and so it should apply to all others. I think you've done a good job in terms of phasing it in. Small businesses will have concern with inventory they have bought. They need time to go through that inventory rather than to just dump it. So I think that's a thoughtful approach, too. It will help them in the long run. And we appreciate the opportunity to bring back and talk about the nickel, because I think you're going to see more data as we go further from Eugene, from Corvallis, from Seattle. That's going to give you a better idea of the cost impact. Mr. Cosgrove's numbers really aren't accurate, at least for the grocery stores that I represent. And it is it's about a 2-to-1 two plastic bags to one paper bag. So the simple math is about 2 cents gets exchanged in for a cost of 5 to 7 cents. It's higher if you have handles on the bag. So for other retailers, that just that pushes the cost up. So it does cost us. There is no savings from going from plastic to paper. Paper is has not been a target for us. In all honesty, we are not for a paper bag ban. We are not for an excessive fee that's above the cost of the bag. We're just trying to mitigate costs. The paper does not bring to it the problems that we've seen associated with the plastic, and the litter issue being the biggest. But and the industry of plastic not stepping up with some type of other answer to the litter, to the recycling, other than to push it off on the retailers. So appreciate you supporting the measures, the ordinance before you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gilliam. Appreciate it very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Mayor Adams, City Council members, thank you. My name is Kevin Tock. I'm a Surfrider member. I'm also a small business owner here in Portland that produces surfboard bags that turn into chairs. I'm also deeply concerned about the impacts we place on our planet and our community present and future. I want to be part of a community that shows that we care, that we don't succumb to a world of mediocrity and a wasteland of plastic choking the earth. I'd like to tell you about my initial thoughts and kind of forays into the plastic argument. It's a simple one, and I've heard it initially from more than a few people, and it was their first thought, and it's kind of trivial, but it had a negative attached to it. And that's enough to trigger a response that drives thought and action and a direction on a topic. And so what it's really about is offering an alternative or taking it away. And the alternative comes from education and action, and that's a bit of what we do at Surfrider. So back to the trivial point, I call it the dog poo test. I kind of thought, I was like, oh my gosh, I use these bags all the time to pick up, you know, dog poo. What am I going to do if they aren't handed out at the grocery store? Well, if they weren't handed out, I probably wouldn't take them to begin with. And I kind of stopped using bags a long time ago, but every time you pick one up, you're like, okay, I have it. I'll use it again. And then I started looking around, and you've got potato chip bags, donut bags, veggie bags, bags in cereal boxes, bread bags. And like one of their small business owners talking about was packaging, and there's packaging everywhere. I have actually told my manufacturers that would ship me my bags in plastic bags and then put them in a box that I don't want these plastic bags. I'm not going to do anything with them except give them back to you. So there's plenty of bags out there. You just have to open people's eyes, and it's through education and direct action that they become aware of what their alternatives are and the problems that the plastic bags, the single-use plastic bags, are causing. And so what I think it's about lessening the burden of the way of life that our society lives, and it makes the bags that much more valuable that are already out there. The plastic bag, I'm like, oh, I've got this great plastic bag. I'll use it for something else, for a fender on my bicycle. If you go out and look at my bike sitting out in front of City Hall right now, it has a fender made out of a cardboard box and a plastic bag. Lastly, I'd like to say I'm in favor of a fee for a ban or for bags, paper bags, because I think people understand a fee. And if they're hit with something, they'll think twice about doing it. I'd like to say thank you for your time and appreciate it.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for letting us come today, Mayor Adams and City Council. My name is Tara Gallagher. I'm a volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation. I'm in the vice chair on our executive board. I'm here today, obviously, in support of this expansion. We've come before you many times before. As you know, we have been working on this issue for nearly 5 years in Portland. During that time, we have reached out to thousands of Portlanders and hundreds of businesses. We've really made sure that this issue has been discussed and vetted. And I can tell you from being out there and talking to people, there is tremendous support from our community for this expansion. Our group has advocated for a more comprehensive policy that it would include a pass-through cost on paper bags. And as was laid out in the resolution that this council passed in the summer of 2010. But we understand that this is a huge step forward. Expanding the ban on plastic bags is a great step, and we're going to reduce plastic bags in our waste stream by millions and millions of bags. So I want to commend the council for coming back and reconsidering this. I don't want to underestimate the success of the original ordinance that you passed last year. We've seen, I think the numbers are 50 million plastic bags being removed out of our waste stream. That's just a number that I can't even fathom. We had a pile out in front of City Hall earlier of 500 plastic bags, as these bag monsters are wearing here. That's just 500. Imagine what 50 million looks like. So it's been a tremendous success, and we thank you for taking that step. And that success has also seen that it's rippled throughout the state. Portland was the first, but we've seen ordinances pass now in Corvallis and Eugene. There's been discussions in Newport. So we've really seen that your leadership has put this issue on the table in a lot of other places. And Surfrider is in support of the expansion, and we look forward to working with you more on bag policy in the future. So thanks again, and I hope that you will pass this expansion.
Thank you. Newport better do it, I'm just saying. Yeah. That's where I grew up. Thank you all very much. Questions from council for staff? We're done with testimony.
Yeah.
Mike?
And I do apologize. I missed the first few minutes, so if I'm asking a question that's already been answered, just tell me to shut up. But the definition of what's covered here under single-use plastic checkout bag is a non-handled bag used to protect a purchase item from damaging or contaminating other purchased items when placed in a recycled or reusable bag. So what is that? Is that a produce bag when you go to the store?
That's a good example. So produce bag, maybe a bag that you've put bulk items in from the bulk section, something that's protecting meat.
Right. Or fresh vegetables.
Fresh vegetables, okay. Exactly.
Those are still allowed.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter whether they're actually placed in a recycled paper bag or a reusable bag. They're allowed.
They are allowed,
yes.
Yes,
okay. And then public outreach, particularly with respect to the retail community. I know the mayor's talked to some people, but if you could just maybe run through real quickly, and again, if this has already been covered.
We can do it again.
Okay, just real quickly, just run down sort of the retail outreach that's been done around this.
Sure.
Retail small business.
Why don't you start with Southeast and Hawthorne, we'll start coming west.
So my understanding is, and Mayor, please correct me, but that you spoke with the Small Business Advisory Council, as well as the Downtown Retail Council, and then a handful of individual retailers, and that was the primary vehicle for feedback on this.
Moving forward, we'll be emailing every tranche. So in the first 3 months, it's mostly the bigger stores, so they tend to be multi-state stores that already have gone through this in one of the other communities, San Francisco or Seattle. That's in the first 3 months, which is what we did for the first tranche, was 3 months notice. If they need to petition for an exception, they have the ability to do that, and we've already given administrative authority to BPS to grant those exceptions. And then 9 months out is when the next tranche happens, and we'll be, again, mailing ahead of time, probably twice as we go from probably once for the 3 months and then twice for the 9 months, and again, offering people a place to call and contact if they need an exception because they're a small business, their volume isn't very great, and they actually have 2 years worth of plastic bags. Those are the kinds of exceptions we've granted in the past.
Small Business Advisory Council, do they have I guess I should ask you, you spoke to them, do they have a position or are they just?
Neither the Downtown Retail Council nor the Small Business Advisory Council took a position on this, either for or against. Their questions to me were on other issues after I presented.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Well, I'm pleased to be able to vote in support of this, but I think as has been demonstrated by the testimony, particularly from the gentleman that sailed around the world, and we have a person here all the way from Hong Kong, this serves more as an example of what not just the metro area should do, or the state, or even the United States, but really what countries around the world need to recognize is a major source of pollution, and beyond that, hazardous waste for aquatic life. And so I look forward to the efforts of those that were here today and helping using what we do here today as an example of what other communities around the world need to do. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you all for being here today, particularly those who took the time to get 500 plastic bags adorned on them. I won't be able to respond to the 341 emails I received yesterday or all of these postcards. I do appreciate the public input, and I'm glad that we're moving forward with this. Aye.
Fish?
I support expanding the plastic bag ban and further reducing bags in the waste stream. I appreciate all the testimony today and the consensus of view that this is the right next step. It appears thoughtful and measured. And down the road, I'd actually like to know more about the data, because I think we've made some progress. We're now off of 1-to-1. It's now somewhere between 2-to-1 and 3-to-1. But I'd be interested in seeing that data 6 months from now and testing some of those assumptions. But Mayor Adams, congratulations for your leadership on this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm pleased to support this proposal before us to ban plastic bags. I think many in this audience know from the previous discussion we had on this, I was a little concerned about a fee on paper bags for a variety of reasons. But this leaves that fee maybe for another day or maybe not at all. I think that getting rid of plastic is a good thing. I'm not persuaded that putting a fee on paper bags, which is something we do well here. We grow trees well. We make paper here. It creates jobs. It's recycled bags and doesn't use bleach. So for those reasons, I think it's important to support something that keeps people employed in the Northwest. So that's why my concern about that. But I am pleased to support this. I think it's important to keep Portland in a leadership role. And I believe that Portlanders will rise to the challenge and will adjust by October of next year to a plastic bag-free retail environment. Congratulations, Mayor Adams. Aye.
Adams.
My thanks to the City Council for approving this in a unanimous manner. Northwest Grocery Association, Environment Oregon, the paper producers, the Surfrider OLCB, and I just want to call out, you mentioned some of the stores, Commissioner Fish, that did this before they had to, including New Seasons, which started out that way, but Fred Meyer making the change was big, very, very big, and I just want to underscore my thanks to them for being a great Portland company. And then Lowe's has gone paper about 6-7 months ago before they had to, so business is doing it on their own, deserves special recognition in addition to everyone that testified. Thank you. I want to thank Rihanna Ansari in my office and Lisa Libby as well, who have worked hard on this project for years. Aye. So approved. We're taking a 5-minute break.